Not what I say.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, now if you can just tell me when you became acquainted with Mrs. Johnson.
Well, I became acquainted with Mrs. Johnson in 1919. Uh-huh. And she was a neighbor and lived down the road in what had been called the old Lead Better Place. Mm-hmm. And she came from New York City but had come from the Midwest.
Her
name was Rhea Kimberly Johnson. She married a Johnson. And her father had been in the Kimberley mining in Africa. She was quite an interesting lady.
Oh. Did she go to, do you remember what college she went to?
No, it would have been in the Midwest.
I see, uh-huh.
Yes.
Because some of the newspaper clippings that I've read refers to her as being a graduate from a Midwestern college.
Yeah, Midwest, but uh-huh. That's all. I didn't pay any attention to her.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What, 13? Yes.
And, she was a neighbor and you became acquainted with her. Then do you remember how she got started
well,
in this
she
library?
Was always a rather uplifting person. She mm-hmm. wanted to uplift the community. Mm-hmm. And she and my mother were friends. And my mother had her up to our house for a cup of coffee and cake. And she said she would like to start a library.
Oh.
And down in her house, which was originally an old Wixon house, there was a little summer kitchen that was built on off the main house. You had to go up little steps. And she didn't use it. And her husband built her all little shelves in there. And she asked my sister Ruth, we were Ruth Sexton, she married Bruce Adams, and I, Louise Sexton, married Glendon Croft. And she asked us two girls, would we help collect books for her? So we walked all over the neighborhood, and when her husband came home weekends, she and her husband went, and it was all books that we collected from the neighborhood. A few donations, and she bought a few, but very few, and she also got second-handed books because she lived down in Greenwich Village, and lots of those people gave her books. And that's how it started.
Now, these were novels and current books?
Anything, everything, mm-hmm. yes.
And children's books, too.
And yes, there were a few children's books, not too many.
Uh-huh.
In those days, there weren't too many children in the neighborhood, truthfully speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the library started. And then, after several years, my mother bought an old Studebaker car, and we moved to Adams Corners then. We lived in the old Adams house.
Was that your sister Ruth's
Adams.
Husband's relatives that...
That settled Adams Corners, yes.
I see, uh-huh.
And so we went and rented that house from the Adams family, and my mother bought a big old Studebaker car. And my sister Ruth and I used to drive around town and get books.
Oh.
We even went over to Carmel, where my sister had married and lived. She married a Tompkins. And she was over there, and we collected books from Mrs. Johnson. And then, as time went on, we didn't have too many customers, to be honest.
How did she make it known that she had a library?
Oh, we told everybody.
I see, uh-huh.
And in those days, it was the Grange and the church was the social outlets.
Uh-huh.
And they were all told, and they all brought books and gave us books. And that's how the library really started. And then we got real professional and got cards. Her husband made up the cards, and we had cards and lending, and we were very busy people.
Oh, great.
And then she became ill. And it was too much for her, people maybe coming to her house. So the little one-room schoolhouse at Adams Corners was closed. And then we had it there for a while. And then my sister Ruth and I and several Mrs. Selden, people got interested in bringing a health nurse in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a public health nurse, so we had to move the library out of the school.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Johnson bought a little van, we called it in those days, and we tumbled the best of the books and that, and he went around. And then that was too hard for him. And then Mrs. Johnson, Mr. Johnson, Ruth and I helped move to the little building. Where was it? Going up there near Graggart's, wasn't it, Evie?
Yes, when they broke the Graggart and Fred Ernst.
Yeah, oh, that was
and
after.
There's where they, no, that was still the Johnsons put the books there. And then they hired, if I remember right, Mrs. Warren.
Yeah.
She was paid and Mrs. Johnson died. And that was the end of my
your
art in the library.
I see.
That's
well,
it.
That, when she asked permission to use that little one-room schoolhouse, that's where my information began in the minutes and whatnot. And then it was in the school for a time.
Yes.
And then it, yes.
And then into the van.
The girl's shower room.
Oh, yes, and then to the public school. I'm talking about the old schoolhouse that's now the Historical Society. That one.
Yes.
And then from there into the, before I think it got into Lake Pigskill, it was in the shower room in the Putnam.
Yes, because the children used to go down and get books at the there as well as at the school library.
Yes, and that's how the whole thing
that little kitchen is what has been referred to as a lean-to, I guess, in some
They built that on when they made the public health because there wasn't enough room.
The lean-to?
Oh, yes.
Oh, that was built onto that kitchen, was that it?
No. It was just the one-room school there with a little shed out in back, and that they added that on
because they had a dentist office.
They had a dentist after
connected with the public health.
The thing that I found in the information that I have, I don't know whether it was a paper newspaper clipping or what, but that the books were moved to a lean-to on Mrs. Johnson's property.
Well, then it was probably
that old summer kitchen that they called
kitchen. That's what I meant.
But it was really a summer kitchen.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So they referred to that as a lean-to then.
Yes. That's what they were a little wrong.
But
that was off of Mrs. Johnson's house.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went into the old schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very interesting because all the information that I have.
Don't you want to turn that off?
Well, then you say the library, her library service actually started in
1920. In 1920 it started, the real library started in 1920.
Uh-huh.
Now you know that library had to have been there when I was a little girl.
Oh, sure.
Because I remember going there and I was born in 1925. And I went to the Mrs. Johnson's library because I remember she had a little book that I just love, a picture of little children with, I can just picture it now, with finding a bird's nest with blue eggs
in her house.
I just loved it, and it was still in her house. Yeah.
Well, that was before she asked permission to use that little one-room school then.
Yes, I had to have been around 4 or 5 years old.
Yes, she had to
be. So it had to have been in 1929, maybe?
Yes.
Well, I was maybe 4?
Yes.
Or 1930 when I was 5?
Well, 1931, I guess, it had become too active for her home, so she asked permission to use the one-room school.
That's right.
But it was only in that
But originally started in about 1920.
Uh huh.
Yes.
Well, that's very good to know.
Here goes.
This concludes the interview with Louise Croft regarding the library. Mrs. Croft later told me that the original building where the library now stands was built by her husband. It was to have been a factory, but the factory was unsuccessful, and it was then purchased by the Democratic Club of the Putnam Valley. Later, the Putnam Valley Free Library purchased the building, and that is where the library now stands.